head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat 40. I'm with Anoush Sariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanty, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So, here's Rick.
And here we are once again on the Rusty Satellite Show, the home of the most interesting people in the Ville. Your host is Rick Redding. I'm so glad to be here. I am seeing very clearly. Thank you very much. Because I just want to tell you right off the top of the show, the service and the experience I had at the Eye Care Institute last week. Last Thursday, I went in for my LASIK surgery, and it went very smoothly. Dr. John Meyer is the best, and he talked me through it. He helped me through it. There is a it doesn't take very long. I was home by 10 o'clock in the morning. There is a moment or two of discomfort when it feels like your eyes, you don't get anesthesia. You're not under the, you're not knocked out, and you feel what's going on your eyes, and it's really close, and there's some pressure, I asked Dr. Meyer if some people freak out with this, and he said, yeah, you know, sometimes people have to take a break or rest or whatever, but I soldiered through it, and, I went home, I rested for a couple hours, rested my eyes. By 2 o'clock, I was out, and even though they advised against it, I was out driving and doing things, and already seeing much, much better. And since then, I went back for my one, there's a one-day follow-up on Friday. I went back, things were already better. And here we are the next week, and things are continuing to improve in my vision. No glasses, no contacts, no discomfort. It's all great. So if you want to find out about getting LASIK done for yourself, the place to do it is Eye Care Institute, 502-589-1500. I highly recommend it now that I've gone through the experience, and you'll be hearing more about that in the coming weeks. I'm going to have Dr. Meyer on the show probably in September, I think. But it's just fascinating to me, the science that goes into improving your vision. It's really great. So anyway, I have a great show. Again, some of the most interesting people in the Ville. I came up with that tagline when I first started the show, and it's so accurate. I heard something. I wanted to tell you, I heard something from an NPR story about Alex Trebek. And if you haven't heard, Trebek is thinking about retiring at the end of his contract in 2020. But he was asked if he, why he likes doing the show. Why does he like doing Jeopardy so much? And he said, I just like being around smart people. It's about being around people that are really bright every day. That he goes into work to tape shows of Jeopardy. And he's right. You know, you got to have a certain level of intelligence to qualify to get on Jeopardy. And Alex really likes interacting with those types of people. And I do too. I think that's part of the attraction of doing this show. I call them the most interesting people, but they're really smart people, or they're really innovative folks, and they're people that are doing things that matter. That's who gets on this show. And this week, I want to tell you my Bourbon City guest of the week coming up in the second part of the show is Joe Herron. And if you don't know him, he's the force behind Copper and Kings Distillery, the brandy distillery down in Butchertown, and just a fascinating guy. I can't tell you enough. He is a big cheerleader for the city of Louisville. He's a transplant, and he's lived all over the world, but he is doing some very innovative things down at Copper and Kings, and you're going to hear all about it. Boy, and they have a new bar up there called called Alexander's, of course, Brandy Alexander, right? It is spectacular. You got to get up there. I'm planning to go the next time I have an opportunity to go out and have a drink. I'm heading up there. It's on the third floor of the Copper and King facility, and you can look out and see the construction site for the soccer stadium right from that window. Spectacular. It really is. But my first guest is coming up in just a minute, and I was really excited to talk to Stephen George again. Was excited when I heard that he had been promoted to become president of Louisville Public Media. And then I went over there today, and Stephen gave me a brief tour of the place, and man, it is a big and productive organization, and he has gone from, in just 3 years, I had him on the show 3 years ago, and he was just moved back to Louisville. He had been an aide to John Yarmuth, the congressman, and he had moved back to Louisville to take a reporting and editing job at Insider Louisville. Well, that lasted a while, and he moved over to Louisville Public Media and essentially has moved up to the very top. And we had a really great, interesting conversation. I like Stephen a lot, and I think you will too when you hear what he has to say about the state of journalism in this town. And it's an optimistic view, I will say. So before we get to Stephen, I want to thank my sponsors, Passport Health Plan, where you can Passport Health Plan sponsors this program that I'm doing, writing stories about the West End at passportwellbeing.com. I just wrote something about the Shawnee Outdoor Learning Center that is coming on board. Just had a big announcement in the city about that. You can find that at passportwellbeing.com. Also, of course, the Bourbon City Guest of the Week is brought to you by Louisville Tourism, and thank those folks for hanging with me on the show. And, you know, my outstanding health, I'm really feeling great. In addition to being of a C grade, I feel great because I'm eating right and doing a lot of exercise, thanks to my good friends at Heiser Health. And I suggest that if you're interested in improving your overall how you feel, if you're a little overweight or if you're not, you need some advice on nutrition, give them a call at Heiser Health. You can find them online, HeiserHealth.com or on Facebook. All right, so that's enough of those types of announcements. Right after this, we're going to get right into Stephen George, and really excited for Stephen and what he's doing. He's doing some really important stuff. And in addition, when I talked to Stephen 3 years ago, he was practically a newlywed, had just had his first child. His first child had born a girl, and a couple of years later, guess what? They had twins. So in addition to this high-powered, highfalutin job that Stephen has, he's got three kiddos at home under the age of, under the age of three. So that's really something. And so I think you'll be interested in hearing what Stephen has to say about the state of local journalism and what's going on at Louisville Public Media. So here's our interview.
I admit I used to think people addicted to painkillers just needed to toughen up, until it happened to my daughter. She really needed help. Thanks to Passport, we got it for her. Our doctor and her Passport case manager made sure she got the services and treatment she needed. Together, we got through it.
Find out how you can get Passport at passporthealthplan.com/together. Passport Health Plan. We're in this together.
All right, today I'm at the offices of Louisville Public Media with Stephen George again.
Hey, Rick.
How are you? Man, it's so much quieter in here. I listened to our interview 3 years ago.
Yeah.
We mistakenly did that in a coffee shop. It was really loud.
It's a lot you can do in a coffee shop.
I can barely hear you.
It's not one.
it was off. I'm not sending that one out. But you did say some interesting. It amazes me. I was telling you when I came in that all the stuff that's happened since that day in January of 2015 to today in media and in your life, it seems like that stuff should have taken 10 years to happen,
yeah.
Right?
It feels like the entire world is that way now, right? We are in this sort of hyper-compressed mode where a lot happens in a very short period of time, and we're all expected to figure out the right ways to respond to it. It certainly brings a new kind of pressure in our world. But yeah, for me, it's been an interesting 3 years.
Well, congratulations, first
you.
Of all. You are now the big cheese over here at Louisville Public Media. In charge of the whole shebang, and which is a long way to come from a 3 years ago, mm-hmm. just a mere reporter at Insider Louisville.
Yeah, I was reporting and editing there, and you know, I still have a lot of love for Insider, but I've had a deep passion for public media for a long time in my life. I was one of those kids who was super into Bob Edwards and Morning Edition
yeah.
in high school. Used it to try to outclass my friends, and you know, I just jumped at the opportunity to take a role here, and that role was executive editor. And so what I was doing here for most of the time that I've been here was running our news operations. We have 89.3 WFBL, which is the news and talk station 24/7. We've got the Kentucky Center for Investigative Reporting, which is a 5-person team dedicated to deep dive investigations, and then we have the Ohio Valley Resource, which is a multi-station consortium that stretches across Kentucky, Ohio, and West Virginia, and focuses on the changes that are happening in Appalachian reporting. with deep context on what's happening there. So I was running that operation working with WFBK and WUOL in that context as well. Helped, while I was executive editor, helped lead the acquisition of do502.com, which is an events platform that we have here at Louisville Public Media.
And which is pretty cool. I've noticed that recently.
And yeah. Trying to grow that, moving into new terrain. It's been really well established in the music and arts space in the past several years, but we're trying to move it into a broader community direction. So a lot going on here, and I have I'm very fortunate to have the opportunity to lead.
Yeah, you got. I mean, you get. I mean, I guess the difference between just being in the news department and being over the whole program, I guess. To me, the biggest difference would be dealing with money.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of jokingly said I've spent most of my career spending the money, and now my responsibility is to go earn it. I went from running the news operation to being on the other side of the news firewall.
Yeah.
Where I make no news decisions, and I don't have advance notice of the stories we're doing. This is a big change for me. Personally and professionally, certainly, but I for us at Louisville Public Media, raising money is about telling our story and talking about the impact that we have and that we're trying to have, our ambitions, to have a deeper impact on this community and to serve more people here. And so, you know, having a person like me with a long background in storytelling, I think. Is a good position.
Yeah. So I guess you go out and you got people who do sales here, and just like anywhere else.
Yeah.
You don't call it sales, but you know whatever you call it. And then the stuff that's on the air, and then you raise money from people, just regular people, right? Mm-hmm.
So we've got three major revenue streams here, and one of them is sales or underwriting, as we call it. And it's a little bit different than what you hear on commercial radio in that our hosts read it. And and there are stricter controls on it.
I guess that's kind of what I do on the rest of the satellite show. Yeah. I guess I should start calling it underwriting.
There you go. Yeah.
I'll start using
it. Get a little of that public media halo effect there. So underwriting is a major part of our revenue picture here. Membership is. So we have about 13,500 members here at LPM. And they're into the news that we provide, they're into the music we provide, they're into classical and fine arts and the education programming we do there. So, those two together account for anywhere between 75 and 80% of our annual revenue. Then we have a grants and major giving operation that the most significant impact that's had is our capital campaign. So from 2013 to 17, we did a $7 million capital campaign that resulted in growth at our investigative center, further digitization of our operations here at Louisville Public Media. Okay. You know, we got new boards, we got new equipment that we desperately needed, and then a renovation of our building. So those are kind of the three major revenue streams.
And a lot of people still think that because it's part of NPR that you get a lot of money from the government.
We don't. We get about 6% of our annual budget comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Okay. Well, more that's
than,
not much.
I mean, more than 9 out of every $10 that we get comes from our community. That's through our members and the local businesses that support us.
Okay. Well, I was interested in talking to you specifically about one story, because and I think you were still on the news side when the Pope's Long Con came out.
I was.
And I know that it took a lot of work. It had a lot of impact. But to have the subject of the story commit suicide the day or days after 2 days after it ran, how did that make people feel around here? I mean, it had to be a little bit emotional.
Oh, it's devastating. It's your worst nightmare as a journalist. It was difficult for all of us. It was difficult for the reporters. It was difficult for the editors, those of us who worked on it directly. It was difficult for everybody who works in this building.
Right.
And, you know, we we had to certainly respond publicly, which we did. And obviously we shared our condolences with his family and the people who support him at his church. But we also stood by the story, and we stood by and we still stand by the story, and we stand by the value of that kind of reporting. That doesn't mean, you know, we're human, and it was very emotional. It was
difficult. Yeah, I would imagine. And you altered the schedule of the release, right?
We did. We changed a couple of things. First, we pulled all of the promotion of it entirely and just let it be. But the podcast version was different from the radio version, which was also different from the web version. We had three distinct versions, and we had three different rollout schedules for each. And the podcast version was going to be episodic and roll out over a series of weeks, starting that Wednesday. And so we had a national promotional plan put together for that too. So we pulled that. We posted the entire podcast series all at once. Like I said, stop promoting it, just put it out there. And then we had two more pieces that were part of the serial radio version.
Okay.
And we decided to withhold those because given what happened, I was concerned about triggering people. I was concerned about, frankly, what impact it might have on his family. Sure. And on others who have dealt with this kind of trauma. On both sides of it, right? Victims of sexual abuse, because that was prominent in the story, and those who deal with mental illness, whether it's themselves or people in their family and close to. So we were trying to be sensitive to the dynamics that were happening as a result of what he did, but also make the story available in the context that we hit.
Yeah, you also knew it was great work and it was accurate. And I guess it was a lot of people. You must have great numbers in terms of people that
got a lot of attention.
Got
a lot of attention,
which is what you want.
Well, it and it won a Peabody Award, which put us into a new kind of category nationally as well.
Yeah,
you know, and you have mixed emotions about that. You know, you do. It's a tricky thing.
Yeah, it's a challenge. So I get, and it seems like, you know, we talk about journalism, and the luxury of the Center for Investigative Reporting here is to have people on staff who don't have to crank out three stories a day.
That's right.
I'm sure you realize that, but I mean, how do you go about, you know, five people got to stay busy working on journalism, but the stories are. They don't come out very often. How do you pick out the stories? I mean, did the long con thing? I mean, I knew about him before that. But
we followed a tip, and it was just good legwork over time. And part of my role there was to make sure to provide the space, in other words, the resources for the reporters who were working on that to continue to pursue it. And they were updating me every few days or every week or whatever, you know, here's what we've got, what do you think, where are we going, you know. I continued to move resources into it. Ultimately, the team that worked on that was 8 people, which is a lot for us. But, you know, we were talking about this a little bit earlier before we started the interview, you and I. Our value proposition as a nonprofit news outlet is that we do journalism that makes our city stronger and our community stronger and our state stronger, right? And KYCIR exists purely to do that kind of deep dive, resource-intensive investigative journalism. And because of the value proposition that we make and the support we get as a result, we're able to do things that a lot of other outlets aren't able to do or have struggled to provide the resources to do.
Okay.
You know? I think there is an appetite for that because this is a community that has a long legacy of strong local journalism through the Courier Journal and through a lot of other outlets that exist now and have existed. over the past few decades, there is a serious appetite for that kind of work here, and there's real support for it here, and so we've benefited from that.
Well, it seems like there was a period where, before CIR, and you know, there was this period where it seemed like that was going away, and wouldn't you say?
And now it seems
like it's come back, and not just you guys, but you know, some of the things Insider's doing, Business First is stepping it up. It seems like
the Courier Journal has an investigations unit now. I think it's great. I think, you know, I think the old model of competition among local news outlets is dead and should be. I think if our interest is to serve the public with information that helps them make informed decisions, then we should seek opportunities to collaborate in order to do that. And so, you know, our position at LPM, and my position certainly, is that I favor a strong local news ecosystem, and I want us to be a big part of it. But, you know, it takes a lot of different players to accomplish that.
You're right. Well, unfortunately, as things are fun here, we're already out of time.
That was so quick.
I have so much other things to ask you.
I may have to stick around here.
We'll do another thing. I do want to make sure you know, now that you're a big shot, you still got to come to the upper deck with us for football season.
Oh, right? I'll be there. I'll be there, man.
You're not going to be entertaining in a luxury suite?
Oh, come on. I renewed my tickets right away. Flight deck.
I guess we'll see you on September 8th and around town. Stephen, thanks for being on the show. And I have all these other questions, so... You might get back here before another 3 years passes.
All right, I'll do it. Thanks, Rick.
Heiser Health, your complete health source for preventative medicine and optimum health. Visit the experts of medical doctors and nurse practitioners so they can evaluate your overall health and your health as you age. Heiser Health uses the primary preventative technique of nutrition with real food and effective exercise. If you qualify, you may need hormone replacement to optimize your health. Call the experts at Heiser Health, 502-882-4252.
All right. Now, don't know if you can tell, but I really enjoyed going down there and hanging out with Stephen George down at the Louisville Public Media offices on 4th Street. That's a really impressive facility. They put some $7 million into facilities there, and the way it's financed, it's fascinating to me. I really believe that high quality journalism is making a comeback in this town. I think in maybe around the time that I was blogging in 2007, 8, 9, 10, investigative journalism had taken a little bit of a dive, but the way I see it now, it's going live well, thanks to people like the folks at Louisville Public Media. So thank you. Stay tuned now for coming up. I'm going to have an interview with Joe Heron, who is the guy behind Copper and King's Brandy Distillery down in Butchertown. It is what I would consider to be a great interview with a fascinating guy, and I hope you'll stick around and listen to that. I got a couple issues I want to talk about. First of all, here on the show, I don't know if you saw this on WDRB over the weekend. They had they have a Sunday edition, a big story that they do talk about investigative journalism. They do some of that over there, and on Sundays they have a big story. And this time it was on bike lanes. And you know, something that really irritates me is the fact that our upcoming mayoral race, and I want to preface this by saying Angela Leed has been on this show, and I like her as a person. I strongly disagree with her on this bike issue. She is basically taking the fact that the city has spent one half of 1% of its budget, some $500,000, on bike lanes in the latest budget, and the mayor's behind it, and he sees that bike lanes are part of becoming a bigger and better city and becoming more attractive to millennials and other people who want to be fit and all that. And Leet sees bike lanes as a symbol of a waste of money and time. And she's just—I just believe she's wrong on this. And making it an issue in the mayor's race, God, I hope it backfires on her. I'm afraid it won't, though. I'm afraid it's one of these issues, like when we talk about our national discourse, that these people who would never get on a bike for a million years are going to take that and say, oh, Angelique's against spending money on bike lanes, I'm voting for her, while the mayor is more progressive and sees it as what all the big cities that are making great strides are doing. You know, we're behind this WDRB story. It told how we're behind Indianapolis, we're behind Nashville on bike lane. You know, progressive cities that want to have the population of young people that they like, it's a thing. You know, I've part of my fitness routine, in addition to the classes at Heiser Health, I've been riding my bike a lot. I just did 15 miles today through up Brownsboro Road and through Seneca and Cherokee Parks and down by Melwood. And, you know, the bike lanes are great. I can remember riding around streets 10 years ago, and I couldn't do a 10-mile ride without getting honked at a couple of times. Well, drivers are getting used to having bikes around. Of course, I live in a part of town now that is more bike friendly, and it's great. I mean, we can all coexist, and we can be, and everything can be great, and the more bike lanes the better, you know, and that's better for the city overall. And I think it's short-sighted of Leet and the people behind her to just say, you know, just dismiss bike lanes as a waste of money. I know out in J-Town there's a plan to build bike lanes all the way from the inner city of Jeffersontown out to the Parkland's Voice Fork. And I think that would be great. You know, wouldn't it be nice to be able to ride on those nice roads out there in the country without, you know, worrying about a car coming up behind you? I know a lot of people are very, they're not as bold as me in terms of riding on the street, scared of cars, because when I was 12 years old, I was riding up and down 3rd Street in the South End on my bike, because that's how I got around. And I went out to Dixie Highway. I went all over them. I've not, cross my fingers, I've not gotten hit yet. But, anyway, it's great exercise too. I'm loving it. Today's ride was really tremendous. I got a good bike I got from Jackie Green downtown, and it just bothers me when people speak out against bike lanes. The other thing that really bothers me about bikes is that when somebody hits a bike and the cyclist gets hurt or whatever, and it's even when the driver's fault, they always say evidence not conclusive, it's an accident. Well, I think they should prosecute those people who drive those cars that hit bikes. That's another opinion I have. So anyway, that's one thing. I want to tell you something else. Moving on Eat Drink Talk this week, we had Chef Bobby Benjamin on, and he was great. I got to, he just knows so much about food. I could just sit here and listen to him talk about food. I recommend you go over and listen to Eat Drink Talk this week. Bobby's on there, and I was motivated. I was determined. I had never been to Butchertown Grocery, his signature spot in Germantown. So I went because it was the 5-year anniversary of the day I met Paula out in J-Town. And so we had a reason to celebrate. So we went to Butchertown Grocery. I had the most flavorful meal I think I've had in my life. I ordered the barbecue shrimp, which was just so much flavor in this dish. It was really good. And we had a vegetable dish that was, it's all fresh. Bobby makes has great relationships with farmers, and he goes out and gets them. The flavor in the vegetables was out of this world. It was really, I can't recommend strongly enough that not a paid spot, but Butchertown Grocery, one of this city's jewels in terms of restaurants. But prior to that, another thing I talked about on Eat Drink Talk, and I know this gets some people fired up or whatever, but I made the statement that Louisville has not grown up as a city yet because, you know, if it wants to be like Nashville, which has great nightlife every single night of the week. All right, so last Sunday, Rod Stewart played in town. I went to see the Rod Stewart concert. I got the tickets online at the last minute, paid $13 a ticket. It was really great. And we went to see Rod Stewart. And before then, we wanted to go experience some things downtown. And before the show, you know, I went to, we wanted to go have a drink at, at first I went to the Evan Williams Bourbon Experience. Remember they were on last week? Well, they weren't open. And then so I said, well, Down One Bourbon Bar, they just had a big remodel. We'll go there. And I went there and they weren't open. So we almost gave up. We went over to BBC. They were open. We had a little appetizer and went to the show. And the show was, you know, the show was the show. It was Rod Stewart, and he was pretty good, but not great, I would say. I think he's mailing it in these days. He did some of his hits and, you know, basically did the same show he probably did does every night. But we're not talking about the show necessarily. So after the show, 10 o'clock on a Sunday night, there's 15, 20,000 people coming out of the Yum Center. And guess what? We go and we think we're going to go to O'Shea's and have a little bite to eat. But they're closed. And say, okay, here's Doc Crow's right next door. Well, they're closing. You can come in and have one drink, but the kitchen's closed, and that's the end of that. And I guess the whole point I'm trying to make here, having all the restaurants around the Yum Center closed right after a show where 15, 20,000 people, it makes no sense. It makes no sense at all. We need to do something about that as a city, or just talk to these restaurant guys, because that is, I don't know, it was a big disappointment. It was a big disappointment in the city, especially for me, 3 weeks after being in Nashville, which like on a Tuesday night is rocking till the wee hours. But otherwise, you know, that's enough of my rant about Louisville businesses not being open when they should. All right, so let's move on to our Bourbon City guest of the week. I'm very excited to have gotten to talk to Joe Heron. He has done so much there at Copper and Kings. It is an amazing place. I've done the tour. They have the sonic aging thing I talked a little bit about in the show. And Joe's tried some things in terms of food service out there, and he's working on some stuff with his new bar, and his new bar is just spectacular. I hope people get to it and make it successful, because it's in a little bit of a difficult location just in terms of getting down there. And once you get there, you have to walk through through the courtyard to get the elevator and go up there. But man, when you get up there, fantastic. And the selection of drinks, I won't go into it here, we talk about it on the interview, is it's spectacular. It may be among the best views of any bar as well. So anyway, I thought you'd enjoy listening to this. You'll love his accent, too. So here's my interview with Joe Heron.
Next up, it's the Bourbon City Guest of the Week, brought to you by the Louisville Convention and Visitors Bureau. Get a different taste.
All right, I am in the coolest place in town, I think. Alexander's at Brandy with Joe Heron at Copper and Kings. Welcome.
Hello, Rick. Nice to see you again.
Good to see you. And the last time I was up here, it didn't look anything like this.
No, it's changed quite a lot, hasn't it? I mean, it's... You know, we had the ambition of building a bar that reflected a city that was dynamic, modern, energetic, and inventive. You know, mm-hmm. We didn't want to build a traditional bar that didn't really reflect who or what Louisville is now, but this caricature of a traditional past. We wanted to be the Louisville that sits comfortably with London, Hong Kong, New York. That's the ambition of Alexander. It's a bar with international level talent behind the bar.
Okay.
And international level talent in the glass. That's our idea.
And a tremendous view to the west, the city, and right here to my right where we're sitting, is we're going to watch the stadium go up, soccer stadium.
Exactly. Hurry up already. Let's get going. We've always had the best view in town. It's magnificent. It's probably the reason why we're actually, Leslie chose this location so close to downtown. But the view of, you know, to the west of the city, and now you see everything going up with the Omni, and there's a lot of hustle and bustle, and obviously a great place to see fireworks from Slugger or from Thunder. And then we have Louisville City's home, future home, and you know, what a reflection of a dynamic city when you see what's happening in Butchertown, when you see what's happening downtown. Then you have a soccer stadium that reflects an international, the world's most popular sport.
Okay.
And you know, Louisville sitting at the heart of this.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's great. And this place, tell me a little bit about the transformation of this bar, Alexander's, because, you know, it is a little out of the way, at least now, until all the stuff pops up around it. And I guess you've been open a few weeks, right?
No, we've been open about 6 weeks now.
Okay.
And on, you know, tomorrow we will open the bar for its full menu that showcases the full suite of drinks that we can do. We're quite deliberate, we're quite meticulous about everything we do. Okay. And Alexander's part of that.
And I think a lot of people maybe don't quite understand brandy in terms of the differences between brandy and bourbon or other mixes. And that's basically what you make here.
Yes. So we make American brandy, and we've often told people our brandy is much more referential to American whiskey than it is to cognac.
Okay.
So stylistically, we work in that, but we use that technique to make a sweeter product from a very, very good gin and different styles of gin to absinthe to some liqueurs. And we have a fundamental process, which is using fruit wine as a base to make the spirit, and using that double distillation on copper pots as the foundation of any kind of spirit that we make. And that includes us distilling finished craft beers with against the grain or Goodwood. We use a specific technique focused on flavor retention and concentration. But our spirit is really, has always been built on the foundation of bartenders.
Okay.
We make a spirit that bartenders love, not only for its place in the cocktail canon, which is probably unsurpassed. I mean, the original cocktails were typically brandy based, to like the modern inventiveness of bartenders. So we have the classics, which we do very, very well, and we're very proud of that. And then we have different types of brandy cocktails. So we showcase how to drink brandy, what brandy is. You can do a tour and then come upstairs and end your tour in the bar and have a cocktail. We do serve beer and wine, and we make unbelievable sangria.
If you're not sure about brandy, you don't have to drink brandy.
Not at all. You can have beer. You can have wine. We serve some nice wine by the glass. We don't scrimp on the quality of anything we do. So the wine is good. We have Meiomi and those type of brands.
Well, I've been on the tour here, which is great. And the thing that people always ask me about, what's special about, what's unique, is well, you go downstairs and they have special music for the brandy and think that it really makes a difference in the quality. So tell me about the philosophy behind the music
Sonic
downstairs.
Sonic aging. Yeah. I think sonic aging is part of the philosophy of music for the whole company. So, you know, our company, the brand name Copper and Kings, is meant to sound like a band. So, and I bring up that story because this is not a traditional brand. Okay, we don't play the provenance of historical record. That's not what we do. We play the provenance of American creativity and inventiveness.
Okay.
That's our position, and music is a great way to illustrate that. So it's illustrated in the name, and in our copper pot stills are called Isis, Magdalena, and Sarah, named after women Bob Dylan songs, and then we pulse music through the barrels in the basement in a process called sonic aging. And the principle of that is this, is that the alcohol molecule moves away from the baseline until it collides with the barrel wall, slides up, and then falls as it loses momentum heading up, and it creates this wave, this sonic wave inside the spirit. And you know, we believe that it enhances maturation.
There you go. Well, I'm not going to argue with that. There's science behind it.
Hey,
so
just know that happy brandy makes for happy drinking.
That's right. It's all happy. Well, I don't want to let you go without, you know, some people are probably hearing you for the first time on the show. And the story of your journey to Louisville, I think, is interesting. If you can condense it to a short time.
It's like that Indiana Jones movies. You'd always see the map of where
here he's bouncing around the world.
Bouncing around from South Africa to England to Sweden to Minneapolis and then to Louisville. We have a long history with Louisville, in that our two previous companies were all born in Louisville.
Okay.
In terms of the formulation. So Nutrisoda with Dave Defoe at Flavor Man. So, you know, this city has been part of our lives since 2002, so it's quite a long time, 16 years, but we moved here in 2013, Labor Day 2013, And we started distilling on Cinco de Mayo in 2014. Okay. So our fifth anniversary will be on Cinco de Mayo. There's got to be some good luck in that symmetry.
I'd say it has to be. And I got to say, you've experimented with a lot of different things. You have such great events here. And I don't know if you have... I mean, when I see an event that's at Copper and Kings, I always think, well, that sounds kind of cool and different.
Hope so. That would be good. I mean, who does tiki events called Kentiki?
There's a cat thing coming up, right?
There probably is, but Rick, I don't know that one.
I know I saw it on the
you thing. Know, the things that we care about, from diversity to, you know, animal, helping out, the Humane Society and things. Those are personal convictions that flow through the whole company.
Sure.
We care about people, we care about animals, and we like to have fun, and we like... I personally think that Copper and Kings reflects Louisville in a very accurate way.
Okay.
I think it reflects a really, dynamic, art-centric, culturally centric, foodie-driven, place to live and to visit.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of harmony and that kind of, joy is endemic to what we do. And I think that's what's endemic to Copper and Kings. We make wonderful products that are quite imaginative, that we're probably the most creative distiller in the world right now.
Okay.
I mean, in terms of what we do and how we think, it's very different to your average distillery.
Sure, sure. And I know, having been on it, the tour is unique. Is your volume of tourists where you want it to be? It seems like...
I'll always take more people. I'll always take more people. It's... the tourism is important, really important, but it is balanced equally by our commitment to the community of Louisville. So we're very interested in supporting community initiatives that build a strong core. The Everything Is Going to Be Okay project, in terms of mental health and those things. We're interested in that. Okay. We're really, really interested in being part of the fabric of a strong community. And we'll support the Butchertown Neighborhood Association, Business Association, St. Joe's Steeples. There's probably too many for me to say how many charities we support in terms of making our
sure.
space available to support that. And that, for us, is as exciting as, our tour... numbers are almost doubling now.
Okay.
We're becoming known. We're becoming known for something worth doing, worth visiting, and we haven't even finished it. We're just starting.
Well, I don't know what's going on in Butchertown, but it's for our listeners, it's 10 o'clock on a Tuesday morning, and I couldn't find a place to park down here.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Butchertown's hot. I mean, it's obviously extremely close to downtown. It is essentially downtown.
Mm-hmm.
It is bordering Nulu. There's a lot of action going on in terms of, the Work the Metal gets a lot of visitors. The Butchertown Grocery, Fabaloo to Lola to the Butchertown Social. So it's starting to hub from community into destination.
Yeah.
And that's when cities start to change. That's when this whole city will start to change, when every major city in the world has an equal balance between tourism and local commerce.
Sure.
That's driving and Louisville is heading in that direction really, really quickly now.
Sounds really great.
Yeah.
Well, we gotta wrap it up here, but Joe, thanks for showing me this fantastic spot. I think I'm gonna come back tonight.
Come back tonight, come back tomorrow night. Don't leave.
Don't ever leave.
there's some sofas behind you.
It's comfortable.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the flower, starting to bloom beyond the blossoms that were in place. I think that we're going to be a world famous bar, not just locally renowned, but world famous.
And thank you for showing me around up at the Copper and Kings Distillery. Joe Heron on the show, and as well to Stephen George, who showed me around Louisville Public Media this week. I must say, you know, a fantastic show in terms of these two guests. They're really great, really smart, really innovative, and that's why I call the show the Rusty Satellite Show, featuring the most interesting people in the bill. That's what it's all about. I just want to take a moment to again, thank my sponsor. I'm seeing things so clearly now. If you have ever thought about LASIK, I'll tell you, it'll make a difference in your life. It will make a different life. I've only been with it. I keep thinking, oh, I'm getting ready to go to bed. I got to take my contacts out. No, wait, I don't have to wear them anymore. It's really life changing. I don't need the readers for everything I want to read, and it works. Thanks to Mark Prussian and the people over at Eye Care Institute. Mark's got a new book coming out. We're going to be talking about here on the show, and Dr. John Meyer is the guy that performed my LASIK surgery. It was really great. So thanks to them, thanks to Heiser Health, who have nursed me through, basically I've lost more than 30 pounds. I'm healthier, I'm stronger. I went on the longest bike ride of the year today. I went 15 miles and at 15 miles an hour. It's pretty good pace, and I'm really enjoying that. It's fun to be in shape, and thanks to the Heiser Health people for helping me get. Also, Passport Health Plan and Louisville Tourism are sponsors of this show. It's all great. I don't know what you got going on this weekend. There is a lot going on to do. We're getting a little break in the weather. It's not that hot, and it's time for me to get it back on the golf course. That's for sure. If you get a chance, go check out Eat, Drink, Talk, this week's podcast with Bobby Benjamin and my co-host Carolyn McLean. Awesome stuff. Or you can find that at eatdrinktalk.net, where there's news about restaurants and bars as well, and all the stuff we talk about over there. I operate Louisville KY, the pulse of the city, louisvilleky.com. You can check out local news there as well. And, you know, might as well plug the work they're doing over at Louisville Public Media is outstanding. It's sort of my go-to source for local news. I try to pay attention to all local media, but I really like what they're doing there at Louisville Public Media. They got some great podcasts over there, and so you should check that out. And so that's it. This is the Rusty Satellite Show. Please tell your friends and look us up on iTunes. Love to have you make a review there. We have a Facebook page. You can send me any comments if you want to recommend a future interesting guest to me. That's the best way to do it, right there on Facebook. So anyway, thank you very much for listening to the show, and we'll be back.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.